All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you today. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. So I had on Fox earlier today. It was outnumbered. Harris Faulkner was on, and we were expecting, we heard all morning, that Joe Biden is going to go after Trump in a big speech in Iowa. Like, all right. Well, we got the big speech, and it turns out to be, well, Trump is an existential threat to the world and a threat to democracy, and the rest of the world needs us, and the fear and the loathing, and we've never seen anybody like this guy. You mean somebody keeps promises and gets things done? You know, I'll compare Trump's record to the Biden-Obama fiasco and disaster any day of the week. And by the way, all this Russia interference happened on his watch, not Donald Trump's watch. So I'm watching this thing and I'm like, all right, well, they're not pulling back on the crowd size. And then I start looking around and I start going online. Nobody's talking about it. And then Harris Faulkner reports that they had 85 people at this highly publicized, highly anticipated, sleepy, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe event. That's it, 85 people. He's supposed to be the Democrats' presidential frontrunner. Now, they got like 500 in Philly when they had room for like 15,000, and I thought that was bad enough. And then I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe the crowd was kept deliberately small. There must have been hundreds of people, I guess, that couldn't get in, that there was a cordoned off area or something, but they were waiting outside, even though it was outside. But Biden was speaking in front of this huge floor-to-ceiling windows, and the camera angle literally allowed you to see the surrounding area. There wasn't a single person I saw standing outside. Nobody was even interested enough to press up against the window to try and catch a glimpse of Biden. And apparently he's given it a second stop today. Now now it's going to become a matter of Trump is really bad. No. He's really, 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 he's really bad. No. He's really, really bad and corrupt and mean and terrible. And he tweets terrible things. I mean, if this is the best this party has, they're in deep trouble. You know, this is an Obama retread. We've had 8 years of this failure. You know, the rest of the world needs us. Well, maybe the mullahs in Iran need you because Trump has put strong sanctions on them. And maybe they need another $150 billion dropped on their tarmac. And certainly Russia's not happy because Trump has been 20 times harder than Obama Biden have ever been with Putin. And in the process, he's also freed us from our dependence on foreign oil, which means we don't have to beg countries that despise us for the lifeblood of our economy. And now, for the first time in 75 years, we're energy independent and a net exporter of energy. And by the way, you can bring countries in the Middle East to their knees and bring hostile actors like Putin and Russia to their knees also if we outproduce them, which we have more resources. And in the process, it's good for national security and it's good for the forgotten men and women in this country that are going to get high-paying career jobs, and it will raise the standard of living of every single American to a level we've never seen before. Yeah, that can happen too, and it should happen, and it will happen. So I don't know if that's more pathetic, or, you know, there it is. There he is himself, brought out of mothballs, a guy that we know lied 19 times, a convicted felon, he obstructed justice, disbarred lawyer. And, you know, his big claim to fame is he flipped and approached prosecutors hoping for immunity for his criminal acts that he committed as Richard Nixon's White House counsel. And, a guy that was disbarred for his unethical, unprofessional, unwarranted conduct in the Watergate affair. And, you know, now he's become a professional worse than Watergate commentator over at fake news CNN, kind of fitting, a guy that had lied 19 times was the big star witness of Jerry Nadler's circus show yesterday. I mean, you can't make this up. It's so dumb. But in the meantime, as we've been telling you, there's a whole other story. There's a reason I've been playing over and over again, and I'll play it later when Jay Sekulow joins us. Also, Jason Chaffetz will check in today, but you know, there's a reason I've been playing this exchange between Lindsey Graham and the Attorney General Barr, because Barr has said clearly, I'm not going to play it now, but Barr said clearly that Mueller's done. It's over. And the special counsel statute empowers the Attorney General to make that decision. It's over. It's finished. It has been adjudicated now for the fourth consecutive time. And Nadler and all these, you know, impeachment crazed Democrats, you know, they actually, some of them are even being honest, knowing they can't beat Trump at the ballot box. And the only way they think they can get rid of him is to impeach him. But they're not doing a lifting a finger to make this world safer, more secure. Every 2020 candidate's talking about the immorality of border walls and wanting to take down the walls that are in existence. So we have open borders for anybody in the world and offering amnesty and pay raises for themselves. That's where their focus seems to be in this idiotic new Green Deal insanity of theirs, which even now crazy, creepy, lazy Uncle Joe is he has himself embracing because he knows he's got to cater to the left-wing lunatics in his own party or else he has no shot at the nomination. I don't even think he's going to get a shot. I mean, the way things are looking, I mean, all right, he leads in the polls, but if he's getting 85 people to show up at his events in Iowa, that is not a good thing. Now, well, bigger news that I know the mainstream media would prefer to ignore was what broke last night on Hannity as we were going on the air. And that is this letter that the Assistant Attorney General, Stephen Boyd, where he now goes into detail explaining that John Durham, he's the new investigator. Now, just to set the table for you, we have the IG report that we're waiting for. The IG is on FISA abuse. I don't see any way that they're going to thread the needle. We now know because of great reporting and digging by our extensive team that we've built together, our ensemble crew, we know that Bruce Orr, in closed-door testimony, said that, in fact, he warned everybody about Christopher Steele and Christopher Steele's agenda. He warned everybody that Steele hated Trump. He warned everybody that Hillary paid for the dirty Steele dossier. He warned everybody that it was not verified. That was in August of 2016. Then John Solomon's reporting of this State Department meeting, which really shouldn't have taken place, was inappropriate with Kathleen Kavalec. And Kavalec very wisely, you know, writes over to the Department of Justice and the FBI prior to the first FISA application about 2 weeks ahead of time, 10 days at least, and says Christopher Steele is on a mission. He's got a political deadline of election day, which means this is an election document dossier that he's putting together. And again, everybody was warned that it's not verified and he had an agenda. That didn't stop them from then, of course, spying on the Trump campaign. Now, we know they did it in a multitude of ways. You had Stefan Halper and his blonde bombshell, you know, spy friend, literally on foreign soil. They're out there trying to get information out of Carter Page. Carter Page was a known asset within our intelligence community. In other words, he worked for American intelligence. He was debriefed by American intelligence regularly. And Papadopoulos, again, they withheld the exculpatory evidence that he had, apparently, where he's saying, I would never, ever in my life, I've never heard of anybody coordinating with Russia, nor would I ever do so, because I would think something like that would be treason. And then they're doing the same thing to Sam Clovis. That's only the one path of spying on the Trump campaign. Now we know Comey went ahead anyway, knowing what he knew. So that makes what he did in the first FISA application a premeditated fraud committed on a court because he knew that Hillary paid for it. They didn't explicitly say it in the document. The top of a FISA application says verified. We now know it's an unverifiable document because even Steele himself doesn't stand by any of his own dossier. He's the author of the dossier. And then, of course, so if you can't verify it and you say it's verified, you don't tell the court, you omit the big, you know, news that Hillary bought and paid for this and the fact that Steele hates Donald Trump and it's political in that nature, then that is a premeditated fraud. And it was designed not just to go after Carter Page because everybody in the intel community knew Carter Page was an asset. He just wasn't allowed to talk about it until recently. In other words, he was helping his country. He would be debriefed by intelligence officials to help America. And then on the other side, so they signed this thing, but that gave them the backdoor into all things Trump campaign, and then later Trump transition, and then later the Trump presidency. So they can spy on all of it. And it was all based on fraudulent information that they knew they could never verify, which means it was all a premeditated fraud on the court. And now we've got, on top of everything that we know is happening, the Inspector General report, which we expect might be delayed because of new information and the fact that the Attorney General is probably putting all of this together in one big package. But we have the IG report. There's no way they can't. You're going to see people in deep trouble over their FISA fraud. And then you've got Huber looking into all the leaking that went on, and the Inspector General has confirmed that, in fact, that has happened. Then you got the president finally declassifying all this information, except he's not giving it now directly to the American people. He's handed all of the declassification abilities over to the Attorney General, who is conducting the full investigation. And last night, just before Hannity, we get this letter from the Assistant Attorney General, Stephen Boyd, explaining that John Durham's investigation into the origins of this Russia witch hunt is going to be broad in scope, will cover, quote, activities of U.S. and foreign intelligence services, as well as non-governmental organization and individuals. Now, this is huge and significant and, frankly, confirmation that we've been on the right track the entire time. In terms of this mission to investigate the investigators, it's not been in vain. As a matter of fact, it seems more real than ever before that all of the facts, all of the truth, real justice, equal application of our laws, and everything in between is going to happen, because all of it did happen. And that's the dangerous part. They did rig an investigation so their favored candidate wouldn't go to jail. And they did have, in that case, a boatload of evidence of clear, incontrovertible evidence. She violated the Espionage Act. And yet, subpoenaed emails, even Bill Maher admitted, yeah, you can't delete them, acid wash your hard drive with bleach bit, and then bust up your devices with hammers and remove SIM cards. Yeah, that's called destroying the evidence, obstruction of justice 101. And that all happened. But then you lead that right into the FISA, you know, premeditated FISA court fraud. And then you take it a step further, that the entire scheme and plan to undo the election of 2016, unseat a duly elected president, that's all been real too. And this letter gives us a lot of new details into all the happenings, into every aspect of this. And I think it shows very clearly now that things have reversed themselves. Mueller's done, over, and finished. Barr has been clear. There's no ambiguity on this. And it doesn't matter what Nadler does. It doesn't matter how many convicts he brings in there, or known liars or obstructors he brings in there for his circus show that he's trying to put on every day. All right, as we roll along, I'm going to get into the details of this letter to Gerald Nadler by Stephen Boyd, the Office of the Assistant Attorney General. I just want to have enough time in this segment to do it. This won't bode well for Biden beyond being, well, uninspiring and getting less than 100 people at his big bash Trump rally today. That doesn't look good for him. And, you know, we're now officially all over Joe Biden flip-flop watch. He didn't have to worry every night about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the power broker in the House and the Senate for Democrats, which now pushed Biden to adopt an insane version of the new Green Deal. And, you know, Biden finally walked back his support of the Hyde Amendment. And there are so many statements that I think are going to really piss off this new radical left wing of the Democratic Party. But in 1995, sleepy, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe offered high praise for William Barr, the once and future attorney general. He said, "I truly enjoyed working with you when you were attorney general," Biden told Barr, who had served as the president George Herbert Walker Bush's attorney general in the early 90s. "You were one of the best I've ever worked with. And there have been a lot of attorneys general since I've been here. And I mean that sincerely." That's not going to go over well. And even the Obama defense secretary Gates came out, I mean, Axelrod yesterday, just mocking the fact that Joe Biden on best friend hashtag day, BFF day, you know, Joe and Obama I'm like, oh, good grief. Anyway, Gates confirmed that he believes Vice President Biden was wrong on most foreign policy issues in the past 40 years. Anyway, he said that to David Axelrod. A prominent Democratic lawyer now is saying that Trump should be found guilty without a Senate trial. This is how extreme the left is. Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Tribe said that on conspiracy TV MSNBC. He literally said that the House of Representatives, they should reach a verdict on impeachment. They shouldn't have to go to Republicans in the Senate. You can't rewrite the rules in the Constitution as you go. You're just not allowed to do that. Oh, and did you see that NBC picked Rachel Maddow, chief conspiracy Roswell, New Mexico theorist in the country, to be one of the moderators of the Democratic debate? Pretty amazing times. All right, glad you're with us. 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm about to say, but Linda and I were watching on the break, and Jon Stewart was on Fox News, the Jon Stewart, and he actually is out there advocating for the funding for first responders on 9/11 that have had a multitude of health issues that would be guaranteed payment for what they did and the health risks they took and the sacrifice they made. And it's just the right thing to do. I don't know what is holding it up, but it should be a top priority in my view.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't agree with most of what Jon Stewart says because he's so liberal on so many things, but he's always been so strong.
No, he's
about
been good on this issue. I agree.
9/11. And it is sad that nobody from House Judiciary showed up today.
It really is pathetic.
And you had all these victims. You know, they have these firefighters and these police officers who ran into the flames when everyone else ran away, and they've got all these issues, respiratory issues, cancer.
Also the people that were down there, and for all those weeks and months afterward, you know,
breathing it in.
They were breathing in this air. They weren't given the proper respiration materials that they needed, but they did it anyway. And literally they were looking for the longest time if there was a survivor. I mean, we did speak to the lone last survivor that was found that was literally in a pocket of subway that didn't get crushed. And and a lot of them ended up with these terrible, severe health issues that are lifelong.
And the interesting thing about this is, you know, Jon Stewart reminds us, I mean, the one thing that we talked about, all of us who lived through 9/11 here, because it happened to the whole nation, right? It was an attack on America. But if you were here in New York, there was something that you saw, which was everybody put their politics aside and they just helped each other. That's all that mattered. And that's what Jon Stewart is showing us right now. He's doing an interview with the channel. He's doing an interview with Fox News. And he's talking about issues that are hurting first responders that were there on a day when America was attacked on its own soil. And it's like, it's just, you know, listen, I'm really impressed by him.
I'll make some calls and see where these guys are on this. This is stupid. This should be a no-brainer.
It's really sad.
800-941-SHAWN. All right, so I want to go back. I want to dig down deeper into this issue, you know, because it gets to the heart of, you know, we've played many times on this program, and we'll talk to Jay Sekulow, counsel to the president, in the next hour, and Jason Chaffetz. You know, the attorney general has really been clear. The Mueller issue is over. They had the time, the money, the resources. And he believes they did a good job, and that decision has been made. There's no collusion, no conspiracy, no obstruction. And people like Jerry Nadler, who didn't like the independent counsel statute because it forced Ken Starr to put it in the public. He publicly had to testify. There were 11 specific crimes that he chronicled that the Congress should look into for the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He was impeached. He lost his law license. And in fact, Bill Clinton had to pay a large sum of money to Paula Jones in that particular case, et cetera. But, you know, when Barr orders the intelligence agencies now, which he has done here, to preserve records of the Obama administration on issues like FISA abuse and others, this is significant. This is now this letter that went out last night confirmed what I kept playing, and I'll play later in the program, and that is the questioning of Lindsey Graham to the Attorney General. Mueller's done. Yes, he's concerned about Hillary and a rigged investigation. Yes, he's concerned about FISA abuse. Yes, he's concerned about intelligence abuse. Yes, he's looking into all these matters. He's also said he has asked the right questions and he's not getting satisfactory answers that add up. Those are his words, not my words. And in this letter that I have here before me by Stephen Boyd, who is the Assistant Attorney General, I want to read some of it to you. It says, Chairman Nadler, this letter responds to your request for information relating to the review currently being conducted by the U.S. Department of Justice, the Justice Department, into certain activities involving the campaigns in the 2016 U.S. presidential election and certain related matters in review. Now, the review is broad. Pay close attention here. Broad in scope. The review of the Attorney General of the United States. It is multifaceted. It is intended to illuminate open questions regarding the activities of U.S. and foreign intelligence services, as well as non-governmental organizations and individuals. Now, there's a lot to digest there, because one of the things that has been going on the last couple of days in Italy is you have a shakeup in their intelligence community. Because as we have now suspected for a long period of time, remember the first story Solomon Carter broke was well over 2 years ago. And that was the issue of the radical increase in the unmasking of American citizens, the surveillance, the unmasking, the lack of minimization, and the leaking of raw intelligence. All, by the way, which happened to General Flynn on top of being told on the fourth day of the Trump presidency, you don't need a lawyer, by Andrew McCabe, the deputy FBI director, and then Comey bragging that he sent his agents in to interrogate General Flynn after he'd been told not to get a lawyer, something he'd never do in the Bush or Obama White Houses, and he was taking advantage of the chaos. I mean, how does an FBI director brag about setting up somebody like that has served his country for 33 years, but that all happened. James Comey is in a whole heap of legal trouble. I am telling you, it's written all over this letter. And the fact that we're going to find out, I believe, in time, that this is when Clapper and Brennan, those now working in television, those that are the great Trump haters, the loudest Trump haters, and what we're going to learn is that these powerful tools of intelligence that the 99.9% of the intelligence community use responsibly in what is a very dangerous world and jobs that they have, and they do it to protect us against those enemies, foreign and domestic, because they all exist. And we need these tools of intelligence. But when you have a few at the top that abuse that power, that awesome power, when we're giving them the most powerful tools. I mean, listen, we've known this for many, many years. We've reported on this many, many times. You know, if you listen to guys like Bill Binney and others that we have had on this program, they will tell you that every phone call, every text, every email is data mined and stored and recoverable by the federal government. But what got worse here is that there are certain things that in America you need something called a warrant. Like, for example, if an American is talking to a foreigner and it's picked up by our intelligence agency and the American is not up to anything nefarious, anything that would be a betrayal of his country, just say a general business meeting call, but they're still monitoring whoever this other person is in whatever other country for the safety and security of America. Once they discover the American is just talking business, They might surveil it, but what's called minimization. They minimize what they listen to as it refers to the American. And if, in fact, they write up a report about it, they will say an American, even if it was somebody whose name they recognized. They don't unmask that individual. That's why the unmasking at 350% rate during the Obama last year's was so deep and so profound, and the special orders that he put in place to allow it to happen. And so certain illegal activities by a certain couple of people that were outsourced to our intelligence colleagues in other countries. They were doing the illegal dirty work. It's the same as them doing it themselves. And now these countries like Italy, Great Britain, and Australia have figured out what's happened, that they were used for nefarious purposes by, we'll find out who, I have my suspicions, by some top intelligence officials in this country. That's what this letter is saying here. Then it goes on, it is now well established in 2016, the U.S. government and others undertook certain intelligence gathering investigative steps directed at persons associated with the Trump campaign. Well, we know the multiple ways that spying went on of the Trump campaign. Carter Page, FISA abuse, a premeditated fraud committed against the FISA court, which allowed them to take away the constitutional civil liberties of one individual, Carter Page, now a known asset of the U.S. and someone who helped the intelligence community and gave them access into all things Trump campaign that extended into Trump transition, extending into the Trump presidency. As the attorney general has stated publicly at congressional hearings and elsewhere, there remains open questions relating to the origins of this counterintelligence investigation and the U.S. and foreign intelligence activities that took place prior to and during that investigation, all of which we now know has happened. The purpose of the review is to more fully understand the efficacy and propriety of those steps and to answer to the satisfaction of the Attorney General of the United States those open questions. Among other things, this review will seek to determine whether the investigation complied with applicable policies and laws. Because the Attorney General, I'll add my perception, thinks that laws were broken and intelligence misused on purpose and turned on certain Americans for the purpose of literally abusing the intelligence weapons that we give them and entrust to them. And according to the Attorney General, he has directed that a team, review team, is led by John Durham, U.S. Attorney for the District of Connecticut, to conduct the review in order to better understand the activities leading up to and relating to the counterintelligence investigation. And it goes on May 24, 2019, the president issued memorandum concerning the review, which directed that, quote, the heads of elements of the intelligence community, the heads of each department of or agency that includes an element of intelligence community, shall promptly provide such assistance and information as the Attorney General may request in connection with the review. And the Attorney General has stated publicly that he has consulted and is working in close coordination with other members in the U.S. intelligence community in conducting this review. The review is thus a collaborative, ongoing effort between the department's review team and the intelligence community, as well as certain foreign actors. You understand how deep this is running here? You want to talk about the influence of foreign actors in the 2016 election? If you're outsourcing spying to circumvent American law and spying on American citizens using the powerful tools that you know that our allies have, it's the same thing as you're using it here. And then it goes on to say that this is a collaborative effort, et cetera, et cetera, in furtherance of the review and to ensure that it proceeds in an efficient, effective manner. The review team has requested certain intelligence community agencies, one, preserve all relevant records. Two, ensure the availability of witnesses that may be pertinent to the review. Three, begin identifying and assembling materials that may be relevant to the review consistent with the president's memoranda and federal law. These requests inevitably relate to sensitive information in the possession of the intelligence community. And while the Attorney General has been granted the authority to declassify information in connection with that review, it is of great importance to the department to protect classified information by preventing the unwarranted disclosure of sensitive sources, methods, techniques, materials, where such disclosure would endanger personal safety and U.S. government employees or friendly foreign partners, harm U.S. national interest, or compromise the ability of the U.S. government agencies to conduct their work, their important work, to protect the American people. This thing runs so deep. This is so corrupt, and this should never have happened in this country. And the FISA abuse is just but the tip of the iceberg at this point. because what you're talking about is a foreign spy that was hired using fake Russian intelligence as a means of impacting the 2016 election. And it runs deeper as they spied on the Trump campaign in a multitude of ways. That's what the attorney general is saying. He graciously appreciates the work of people in the intelligence community. During the review, Mr. Durham will continue to serve as U.S. attorney for the District of Connecticut. The review is being conducted primarily in Washington and by Mr. Durham and a number of U.S. attorneys, personnel, department employees, et cetera, et cetera. Mr. Durham's review will be funded by the U.S. attorney's salaries, expenses, appropriation. The attorney general looks forward to obtaining a better understanding of this critical period leading up to the 2016 election. It's all happening. This is a serious, put you on notice, reality check that all of these things, Hillary, her investigation was rigged. She had violated the law. She obstructed justice. The FISA courts, it was a premeditated fraud committed multiple times to spy on the Trump campaign as they spied a multitude of ways, including outsourcing intelligence gathering to friendly countries that because they use that method to circumvent American laws and abuse American intelligence gathering techniques. And then, of course, it was all designed, one, to literally favor one candidate over the other, to fix and rig an election, and then to bring down a duly elected president. It's all true. All of it. And it's all going to be proven. And there's no stopping it. At this point, there is no stopping it.
Leaks coming out of the Justice Department and FBI during high-profile investigations. The Inspector General found that during the department's investigation of Hillary Clinton for mishandling highly classified information, there was a culture of unauthorized media contacts. During the Russian investigation, the leaks continued. Leaks undermined the ability of investigators to investigate. Further leaks to the papers while Congress's questions to the department go unanswered is unacceptable. Why? What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
What can you tell us? Michael Horowitz's report.
Well, only Michael Horowitz knows the exact time frame of when it's coming out. Obviously, the attorney general had indicated that he hoped to see it in June. I'm not as optimistic now. And one of the reasons for that is additional information has been given to the inspector general for them to investigate. I would rather them get it right than get it fast. And I believe their whole team is doing a very good job in making sure that they hold those people accountable like you just spoke about.
So just to be clear, we're not going to get the IG report. It's unlikely that we're going to get the IG report in June. What about July?
Yeah, now that's my opinion. I can tell you Inspector Horowitz, you know, obviously hasn't communicated that to my knowledge to anybody on Capitol Hill, but based on what I'm seeing in terms of additional information being shared with him, I think it'll be a while.
Okay, so it'll be a while because he's gathering more information.
All right, that was, by the way, Mark Meadows on Maria Bartiromo's show and talking about the IG report. But it gets far more interesting, just as we've been telling you throughout most of the show today. And we're glad you're with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity show. This letter that was released late last night from the Assistant Attorney General, Stephen Boyd, explaining that John Durham's investigation into the origins of the Russia witch hunt is broad in scope, will cover, quote, activities of U.S. and foreign intelligence services, as well as non-governmental organizations and individuals. Now, you've got the Durham investigation, still outstanding, the Hoover investigation, the IG report into FISA abuse, the attorney general very clearly saying that he is concerned and looking into what happened in the case of Hillary Clinton's investigation, FISA, how all of this came into being. And it seems like a top to bottom, inside out examination into all of the deep state activities that we've been chronicling now for over 2 years on this program and on Hannity on Fox News. Anyway, joining us with his take on all of this, he's the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, also President Trump's counsel. Jay Sekulow is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Hey, Sean.
Welcome back. All right, let's start with this letter from Stephen Boyd when he's talking about how broad in scope it's going to be. And when you put it together with some of the comments of the Attorney General, it begins to take on a new level of significance. The media hasn't picked up on it really yet, but this seems deep, wide, and thorough.
Well, where the media has picked up on it is the nervousness of people like James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan, and some of these others. And you read an interesting part of the letter where it talks about the broad scope and multifaceted. But listen to the second paragraph. It's now well established that in 2016, the U.S. government and others undertook certain intelligence gathering and investigative steps directed at persons associated with the Trump campaign. Then it says that he has decided that the review of this is going to include both individuals and organizations and non-governmental organizations. So this is a very comprehensive review that John Durham will be leading. They are making space available for him to operate out of Maine Justice while he does this. So this is not an independent counsel or a special counsel. This is a U.S. attorney inside the department tasked with finding out who started this crossfire hurricane. And I'm going to tell you right now, Sean, we're going to find out the nature and scope of the abuse here, and I think it will be breathtaking in scope.
Well, I think just based on what we know, for example, I think it would be impossible to expect anything other than a devastating report from the Inspector General over FISA abuse, because we've been able to put together certain facts on our own where we now know that there were multiple warnings to the upper echelon in the FBI and within the Department of Justice and elsewhere, warning that Christopher Steele, A, had an agenda, that it was an unverified document, that it was politically tainted with Hillary Clinton and her paying for it and the DNC paying for it. None of that was factored in. Even Steele going as far as to distance himself from his own dossier, saying he has no idea if any of it's true. That, to me, renders the entire document unverifiable. And that means those that signed that FISA application committed a premeditated fraud on a FISA court. I don't see any other conclusion to that.
Against a judge.
Would you do that? I would never do that.
We know there's investigations going on now with James Baker. We know that it's now going to encompass all these others. I'm sure it's going to include Page and Strzok and Clapper and Comey. That's why they made these public statements that they have. That's why they're going after the Attorney General on this matter. And a number of U.S. Attorney's Office personnel and department employees have been put on this task. You will have the Horowitz report come out, maybe delayed a bit because they're getting some more information. I think that means someone's probably cooperating. My guess is it's Lisa Page. It may well be cooperating here. And I think Baker's given some information, too, that may be a form of cooperation. I'm not sure on that. But you saw that you had the pointing of fingers by Clapper and by Brennan saying, hey, we told Comey this was unverified.
Well, no, they were going after Comey, and Comey was you have a circular firing squad. All of these deep state actors now have turned on each other.
Well, here's what you have. We have a concluding report from Mueller, which had a crazy legal theory, but even the crazy legal theory, obstruction by tweet, they couldn't bring a case. You know, and everybody keeps saying that they did not exonerate the president, which, of course, is not the Department of Justice job. But, you know, there is a letter in the report. It does say we did not conclude that the president committed a crime either.
Correct.
But they made no conclusion. Then it went up the ranks to the Department of Justice for Office of Legal Counsel, which is the highest ranking kind of deliberative body within the Justice Department. The Attorney General, the Assistant Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, rather, made the decision there is, based on the law, no obstruction of justice. Case is closed there. Now, they're trying to do all these hearings, and they want to bring McGahn up. And by the way, it's all protected under Article 2, and these individuals should not be going up. We cooperate with the report. That's it. They're not entitled to anything
else. Well, you don't get a fifth bite at the apple, Jay. There's been four separate investigations now, the FBI investigation, House Intel investigation, bipartisan Senate investigation, and the Mueller report. You don't get to drag people. At some point, it becomes harassment, and people cannot afford the legal expense when they're working for the government.
Look, I'm supervising on behalf of my client, the president, all of these matters, the pending matters involving these various committees, and working closely with my team that I've assembled for this, because this is a little different than the Mueller report, although some of those same team members are still involved, of course. People like the Raskins are still helping and others. But there's other team members here. Will Consomboy's name, you hear that. Patrick Schrobbers, you're handling some of the litigation for us. So I'm supervising this team through this process, and we will get through this process well. It's like going from DEFCON, you know, 1 with Mueller to going to DEFCON 200. I mean, it's just a different level. But this is political theater, and we've got to understand that. So we're going to be very aggressive.
Oh, no, I thought John Dean's testimony as a non-fact witness was very compelling. That you're bringing in a convicted...
I'll tell you what was great about that. Look what they did. They've had two hearings in the Judiciary Committee. The lead witness the first time was Michael Cohen, who pled guilty to perjury. The second lead witness in their second case was John Dean, who pled guilty to obstruction of justice.
And lied 19 times. Lied 19 times. And by the way, he's made a living now going forward with this is worse than Watergate, saying it about Bush, saying it about any Republican president. All right, let me ask you this.
And that's the committee. That's why we got to, that's why I want our listeners to understand that we are fighting aggressively. Okay? We're going to fight aggressively, representing the president's constitutional interests that are at stake here in the office of the presidency, in conjunction, of course, the White House counsel has to assert that. And that's why we're being very aggressive here. This is the kind of strategy that you engage in when you think it is a fishing expedition, and this is.
Well, when the president did not invoke executive privilege once. He answered the questions of the special counsel. He encouraged everybody in the White House to cooperate with both Congress and the special counsel. Even Don McGahn testified for 30 hours, which to me is insanity, but whatever. Okay, but all of that happened. They handed it all over. This is now the fourth conclusion. All right, as we continue with Jay Sekulow, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, also counsel to President Trump. The question I have, and when the attorney general went before the Senate committee and Lindsey Graham asked these series of questions, when you couple these questions with the knowledge that the IG is still investigating Pfizer, Huber is investigating leaks, the new investigation by Durham, the attorney general's investigation, and let's not de-emphasize the declassification of the president handed over to Attorney General Barr. When you listen to the attorney general say this to Lindsey Graham, what is your interpretation? Let's play it.
Do you share my concerns about the Pfizer warrant process?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the counterintelligence investigation, how it was opened and why it was opened?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns that the professional lack of professionalism in the Clinton email investigation is something we should all look at?
Yes.
Do you expect to change your mind about the bottom line conclusions of the Mueller report?
No.
Do you know Bob Mueller?
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
30 years, roughly.
You think he had the time he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the money he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the resources he needed?
Yes.
You think he did a thorough job?
Yes, and I think he feels he did a thorough job and had adequate evidence to make the calls.
Do you think the president's campaign in 2016 was thoroughly looked at in terms of whether or not they colluded with the Russians?
Yes.
And the answer is no, according to Bob Mueller.
That's right.
He couldn't decide about obstruction. You did. Is that correct?
That's right.
You feel good about your decision?
Absolutely.
My interpretation, Jay Sekulow, is Mueller's over. It doesn't matter what Jerry Nadler does with John Dean.
That's correct.
But more importantly, the attorney general, now with this new letter sent to Jerry Nadler by Stephen Boyd, tells us that a new act has begun. The curtain has gone up, and things that I've been discussing for 2 years are now in the forefront of being investigated fully.
I mean, that's right. I think what you've been talking about is now we can actually get the hard evidence to show that it was correct. There was a it's been called a soft coup, whatever you want to call it. There was irregularities, inappropriate conduct, and illegal conduct being engaged in my view, by intelligence agencies. It's going to come to light. We're going to find out why the unmasking orders were changed right at the end. And I think that bodes well for us in moving forward. And look, the Democrats are running for a re-election. The president's running for re-election. That's going to be front and center. But running on the Mueller report is a very dangerous move for them, in my personal view.
Well, I mean, simple questions are always in the forefront of every election. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Yeah.
The other thing, are you more safe, more secure? Is America more prosperous? And is the economy healthy and doing well? When you answer those questions, I think the answer is obvious.
That's right. I think that's exactly correct.
So where does this end up? Do you see people that have brought, for example, can we ever get to the truth and not examine the rigged investigation into Hillary? Is there any judge that would accept premeditated fraud?
That are looking at that. I mean, I think there are offices looking at all of that. But I will tell you that this is much bigger than the Hillary Clinton stuff. It is much bigger, Sean, in scope.
In what way?
A campaign spied on based on a false dossier. It's a pretty big deal.
But you had the FBI director sign the first FISA application, and we now know it's an unverifiable document, and that
right.
same FBI director was warned repeatedly that it was not verified. How does he justify committing a fraud?
Well, they can't justify committing a fraud. So
let me put the question this way. If I did the same things that they did and premeditated fraud on a court, and said I verified a document that I can't verify.
You'd be in trouble. You could be in federal felony issue with the court. I think the court's going to be outraged when they find out what happened here.
I think they already know. Well, how come we haven't heard from those people? When are we ever going to hear from them?
The FISA court, if there's when charges are brought up, I wouldn't be shocked if you did.
Meaning that they would come forward?
Actual, I mean, they were. There was a fraud committed on the court. The court should sui sponte take action. Sui sponte meaning on their own accord once the evidence is out.
Let me go back to what you said earlier about people now being brought before the Nadler committee or the Cowardly Schiff committees, whatever committees. If people have already testified, cooperated, answered every question, do they have a right to plead the fifth and say, I'm done. I've answered all your questions. I have nothing to add.
Anybody can plead the fifth. Okay, so, I mean, that's number one. Number two, there's an issue way before Fifth Amendment privilege here, and that is, are these people employees of the executive branch of government, in which case it would be privilege? Article 2 privilege would apply to it.
All right, Jay Sekulow, American Center for Law and Justice and counsel to President Trump. Thank you for sharing your time. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, when we come back, Jason Chaffetz knows a thing or two about these investigations and also a Fox News contributor. We'll get to that. We have our news roundup, also getting to your calls later in the show, and a great Hannity tonight we'll tell you about in a few minutes as we continue.
What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. That was, the Attorney General Barr. This follows up on what we brought up earlier with Jay Sekulow and at the beginning of the program today. This letter is huge, where the Assistant Attorney General to Barr, Stephen Boyd, explaining John Durham's investigation into the origins of the Russia witch hunt is broad in scope and will cover, quote, activities of U.S. and foreign intelligence services, as well as non-governmental organizations and individuals. It is significant confirmation of all that we've been telling you. The Hill reporting today that the Attorney General Barr has ordered U.S. intelligence agencies to preserve all records that may be relevant to the Obama administration's FISA abuse during the 2016 election. And by the way, hopefully we won't have any more bleach bit used and phone hammering going on. Just trying to stay, you know, one step ahead as they have done in the past. But in this letter sent yesterday by Stephen Boyd, he said the inquiry is primarily conducted by the U.S. Attorney John Durham out of the Justice Department offices in D.C. And in the letter, Boyd describes Barr's review as broad in scope, multifaceted, intended to illuminate open questions regarding the activities of U.S. and foreign intelligence services, as well as non-governmental organizations and individuals. He also wrote the department has requested certain unnamed intelligence community entities preserve relevant records, make available witnesses who may be pertinent to the inquiry, and begin identifying and assembling materials relevant to the review consistent with President Trump's order and federal law. Somebody that knows an awful lot about this, he actually had a great column that he's just put up on FoxNews.com. How law-breaking FBI leaker must be prosecuted. Justice Department fails to do so. Let's start with this letter from Stephen Boyd last night that came out and how relevant this is and this order to preserve now all of this information.
It is illuminating. It is important. There are preservation letters that were put in place by Congress, but to have the Department of Justice put in their own preservation letters What this means is under the Federal Records Act, you have to preserve certain things, but it expands the scope. So any personal note, any personal email, it really gets rid of any other excuse that they might have to go out and destroy evidence, as we know Hillary Clinton and her team did.
Okay, so when you read this letter, you've been around Washington a long time. You've been intimately involved in investigations like this. Well, I don't know if there's anything quite this broad in scope. How do you interpret, based on the letter, based on the comments that Attorney General Barr made to Lindsey Graham and other statements that he has made, that is not adding up and that the investigation seems to be broad and will fully, they're going to uncover every rock and stone and pebble and get to the bottom of this?
What it says to me, Sean, is that not only are they focused on people that have government jobs and are getting a federal paycheck, but it's expanding out. When you talk about non-governmental organizations, these can include campaigns, they can include lawyers, they can include a whole array of people that I think we know, given their proximity to what had happened in the past, were part of what was happening. So I do think it'll expand above and beyond just the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I think you're looking at some other agencies, potentially the CIA, NSA, and some other, you know, three-letter acronyms out there that are involved, engaged. But it also will include private entities, and the mix between the two is going to be fascinating.
Now, one of the things that has been interesting, and we have discussed at length at different and varying times, and I think Carter Page last night illuminating somewhat on this, where we've been watching the intelligence agencies, in Italy, go through a massive shakeup, and there seems to be a belief and all signs pointing in the direction that we had high-ranking intelligence officials in this country outsource intelligence gathering that would be illegal for them to be involved in, likely involving American citizens. And so they basically, you know, I guess handed it off to some of their colleagues in other countries to do the dirty work for them. That seems related, as it also gets into the FISA issue, which Michael Horowitz, I assume, is wrapping up his report or perhaps wrapped up already.
Well, that's why I think that Brennan, Clapper, and some of their cohorts are really in the focal point here. And one of the things that I know you and I have talked about, my frustration, and the reason I wrote this article, is that in June of 2018, when Horowitz put out his, you know, several hundred page document, there were hints of where he was going with his Department of Justice, you know, the Inspector General investigation. But what happened, and it got smothered by the Mueller news. Mueller came out and made a statement. It was the same time that Horowitz had put out a statement saying he had made a criminal referral against a deputy assistant director to the Federal Bureau of Investigation for releasing sealed court documents, for engaging in unauthorized contacts with journalists, for accepting gifts. And the Department of Justice, it has decided not to prosecute.
Why would the department? Wait a minute. But if that is a felony, is it not what you're describing? Because I've read the exact press release. Why would they decide not to prosecute if, in fact, a criminal referral is made? Such a referral, I doubt, would have been made had there not been enough evidence to support it and back it up.
I am a huge fan of Attorney General Barr. I think he's had guts where we haven't seen him before. But I think there's a huge question here. The inspector general is doing something, and I've interacted with inspector generals for 8+ years, and especially Horowitz. I when he put out his statement, I could read between the lines and see the frustration that he had, because he must have been peppering them with months. Here's the evidence. Here's the person. Here's the documentation. Here's how you prosecute this case. But finally, the DOJ decided not to prosecute one of their own. We don't know this person's name. We know the crime. We know what they were doing. We heard at the beginning of this segment, Senator Grassley peppering the attorney general. But they need to answer that question, Sean. Why is it that there's documented evidence, a criminal referral from the inspector general,
Is it possible that the decision is made on a temporary basis because of a broader investigation?
You know, I can put some hope out there that maybe that's the case. But if they were continuing to have those discussions within the DOJ, the inspector general wouldn't have put out that letter. He doesn't do these things. They don't put it out like that. But he made the case. He said this is what's happened, and he said they have declined to prosecute, and it's got to be disheartening for
so,
an inspector general who's doing his job.
All right, so let's go to the questioning, and I've been playing this fairly often because it gives us the mindset, and now we have Stephen Boyd's letter that confirms everything that, in fact, the attorney general had been saying. And let's play Lindsey Graham asking about what he thinks is important and what he thinks about the Mueller report if it's finished. He's very clear on both. Let's listen.
Do you share my concerns about the FISA warrant process?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the counterintelligence investigation, how it was opened and why it was opened?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns that the professional lack of professionalism in the Clinton email investigation is something we should all look at?
Yes.
Do you expect to change your mind about the bottom line conclusions of the Mueller report?
No.
Do you know Bob Mueller?
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
30 years, roughly.
You think he had the time he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the money he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the resources he needed?
Yes.
You think he did a thorough job?
Yes, and I think he feels he did a thorough job and had adequate evidence to make the calls.
Do you think the president's campaign in 2016 was thoroughly looked at in terms of whether or not they colluded with the Russians?
Yes.
And the answer is no, according to Bob Mueller.
That's right.
He couldn't decide about obstruction. You did. Is that correct?
That's right.
You feel good about your decision?
Absolutely.
Now, when you listen to that, then you have this follow-up letter, and then you have John Durham entering the equation, and we're still waiting on the Inspector General's report, which I have to believe on FISA is going to be devastated based on the facts that are publicly already known. We know that there were multiple warnings that the dossier was Clinton bought and paid for. We know that it was well-known Steele had an agenda and hated Donald Trump, and we know that it was an unverifiable document, even though on a FISA application, the words verified are at the top of the application, because Steele himself does not stand by his own dossier. So it would seem to me an impossibility that those people that signed off on that FISA application could have verified it, because it was unverifiable.
No, you're exactly right. We have John Ratcliffe, a former U.S. attorney who prosecuted terrorism cases, who's now in the House of Representatives. He was one of the people who actually read the unredacted FISA document. He's the one that revealed that it said verified application at the top of it. He and Trey Gowdy, serious prosecutors who've been in the federal system, who understand this stuff, they have both said this. There is more than ample evidence that there was something, some serious nefarious activity going on here. And not only do we need the Department of Justice to take action, but where in the world are the courts? Where are the judges that are going to
answer that question? Look, because we know that the FISA court judges, it's a rotating group of judges picked by the Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Roberts. Nobody's ever spoken to them. And I would think that a judge that where they had a premeditated fraud committed on their court is not happy, because I don't think any judge ever likes being lied to.
I think Judge Roberts is waiting to see what the Department of Justice is going to do. He's probably waiting to be able to see a copy of the Inspector General's report. But I would hope, I would really hope Justice would take this seriously, because I know of no other court in the nation who would put up with being snookered like this and taken advantage of when they had such great trust. They're supposed to be a safeguard, and the court also needs to yank these people up and hold them in contempt.
All right. So when you put together all the things that the attorney general said is important, then we've got Durham now taking on a very big role, seems like an outsider, which I would view as a good thing. And then the Horowitz report. I don't know what John Huber is doing out there where, you know, in Utah, apparently. I'm not sure where he is with his investigation, and the attorney general promising to get to the bottom of all of this. What do you see happening and when? And do you see down the line that these people are going to be held accountable for this abuse of power? Everything from rigging Clinton's investigation to the fraud committed on the FISA court, to spying on the Trump campaign, and then trying to take down a duly elected president. Do you see people now being held accountable?
Well, my frustration is when the first instance of the inspector general making a criminal referral and the Department of Justice deciding not to prosecute. So, I'm still pessimistic that they will actually prosecute one of their own. With that said, my theory, my guess, just based on my experience, no insider information, I'm just saying I believe that Horowitz has already submitted his report to the Department of Justice. And that is in part the impetus and at least a factor in why Durham is now so focused, and they made a public pronouncement that he would be handling this. I think they needed
what about the president handing off the declassification, the complete declassification? That's the FISA applications, the 302s, Gang of Eight material, exculpatory evidence. All of those issues now are wide open to the Attorney General Barr, and the president still can make it public himself, but he decided to hand it to him. Why?
Because I think he was probably getting pushback and resistance from other departments and agencies outside the Department of Justice. If you are sitting in, say, one of the agencies that Brennan and Clapper were engaged in, there may be documents and witnesses and others that they were resistant to allowing them to have. And that's where you need the president to say step in and say, you are going to cooperate with the Attorney General of the United States. He has the highest security clearance. He is the leading law enforcement official. And you are going to do this with no excuses.
All right, Jason Chaffetz has been great, also filling in for Hannity a lot on a few days off that I have, at least when they don't call me back in 100 times. Thank you so much for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. I mean, Joe Biden goes to, this is unbelievable. Trump is an existential threat. This is his big line of the day, and he had a whopping 85 people. Is that true that only 85 people showed up today? He didn't even break 100? And this was going to be his big Trump bashing speech, you know. Okay, good luck to sleepy, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe. We'll have the latest. Kayleigh McEnany, Jeff Lorder next, right here on the Sean Hannity Show. News Roundup, Information Overload is next. Hannity tonight at 9. We've got a blockbuster. We'll tell you about it straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final News Roundup and Information Overload.
There's a very clear case, which I thought I should lay out, that this president could be impeached for the way he took us to war in Iraq.
I barely recognize the Republican Party today.
Taking this country into torture. I don't think Richard Nixon ever would have employed that. What happened is much worse.
He thrives on insulting people in situations, so this was typical Trump.
There's two ways we can proceed from this town hall meeting tonight. One is we can go back to the 435 ladies and gentlemen that constitute the House of Representatives and say we have had a brilliant set of panelists that have advised us that what we must do now is forget about the parliamentary process of impeachment. We must begin impeachment right now. That's one thing we can do. And believe me, if there was a quicker way to get to a desired result, I'd be the first one in line to do it. And
there is a third. The third avenue is to put John Conyers in the chairman's seat at the House Judiciary Committee, and that's very easy to do.
Okay. All right, glad you're with us. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. What's happened just in the last 24 hours, Biden, his big speech in Iowa apparently drew a whopping 85 people. 85 people showed up. Now, I figured, it had to be a few hundred. And this was the speech. He's going to trash all morning we were here. He's going to trash Donald Trump. He's really going after him. And he's a threat to democracy. The world needs us. What? Maybe the Iranian mullahs need you because they're running out of the $150 billion you and Obama dumped on their tarmac. But as far as the world needing, sleepy, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe, I don't think so. These crowd size, they do show whether there's a level of enthusiasm for any candidate. And Biden's poll numbers have been going down. And, you know, I actually figured, well, maybe they wanted the crowd that was kept deliberately small. I thought maybe just hundreds of people couldn't get in, were waiting outside. But that wasn't the case. Biden is speaking in front of this huge floor-to-ceiling windows. You know, the camera angle allowed you to see outside, and I didn't see a single solitary person outside. Nobody even interested enough to press up against the window to catch a glimpse of Biden. He's supposed to be their front runner. And I don't know if that's worse or, you know, here you have a guy admittedly with no factual knowledge whatsoever is brought in to be the big star yesterday in this committee, you know, that they have of Jerry Nadler's, and I'm expecting, okay, let's see what they've got. Let's listen. And who do they bring in? They bring in John Dean. John Dean has said about every Republican president since Watergate that this is worse than Watergate. We were just playing John Dean saying this is worse than Watergate about George W. Bush. Now, the guy's a convicted felon, a disbarred lawyer, and, you know, who literally was sentenced to prison time for obstruction of justice. He was caught in 19 specific lies at the time after, you know, he approached prosecutors hoping for immunity, but he still ended up, you know, getting a sentence. And then also he was disbarred in Virginia for, quote, his unethical, unprofessional, unwarranted conduct in the Watergate affair. And now he just has become a fake news analyst over a fake news CNN. I mean, why not? I mean, the guy that is contradicted by real tapes 19 times, he fits in perfectly with fake news. So he used to say about George W. Bush, he authored the book Worse Than Watergate. Now he's saying it about Trump, Worse Than Watergate. And he was the big guest yesterday, and these guys pounded him. Just listen to Matt Gaetz and Jordan and the others.
The corrupt cabal, what we see of Strzok, Page, McCabe, Comey, and others, how we actually got started here, I believe that they have the Godfather here today. Mr. Dean.
Now we got John Dean, 45 years ago, went to pled guilty to obstruction of justice, and now coming in to enlighten the Judiciary Committee on Obstruction of Justice when we could be going right to the start of how this whole thing started.
We're not just talking about your credibility as a witness. You're a biased witness as well. You spent the last 45 years trying to rehabilitate yourself, and I don't blame you. And you've written numerous books. You've claimed multiple Republican administrations as being worse than Watergate.
Now, Mr. Dean, I have no problem with you having an opinion. You've paid your debt to society, and you've made your opinion clear. In the last 2 years, did you know you've sent 970 tweets about Donald Trump? All 970 tweets about Donald Trump are anti-Donald Trump.
Do you have personal knowledge regarding the truth or falsity of a single material fact in the Mueller report?
I think if you recall the first thing I said, I'm not here as a fact witness.
And throughout history, you accuse presidents of acting like Richard Nixon and you make money off of it, right?
Not all presidents.
Here we sit today in this hearing with the ghost of Christmas past because the chairman of the committee has gone to the Speaker of the House and sought permission to open an impeachment inquiry. But she has said no. You are functionally here as a prop because they can't impeach President Trump because 70% of Democrats want something that 60% of Americans don't.
All right, so they want a fifth investigation after four equally concluded there's no Trump Russia collusion or obstruction. So they bring in the one guy that is a convict, a liar, an obstructor of justice as their chief witness. Unbelievable. Anyway, Kayleigh McEnany is the national press secretary for Trump 2020. Jeff Lord, author of now the bestseller, it's called Swamp Wars, Donald Trump and the New American Populism versus the Old Order. As I watched yesterday, and I'm watching all the events unfold today, creepy crazy can't get more than 85 people to show up for his Trump bashing session. And is that his campaign, bash Trump? I don't see, Kayleigh, any of that working.
No, it's not working. No one's enthusiastic about Joe Biden. And why would you? I mean, look, Joe Biden is puppet boy. That is what I'm calling him because he's someone who has no convictions, no principles, no message. He's reading off a piece of paper during this rally, zero energy. He flips on the Hyde Amendment not once, not twice, but three times. His prepared remarks this evening flip once again on China. I mean, this guy has someone pulling his strings, and it's Alyssa Milano and Hollywood and junior level staffers. How pathetic is that for someone who's been in Congress, been in Washington since 1976, but manages to have zero principles? I don't think he survives this primary.
I don't have any feel for how this is going to pan out, but I know he's losing ground daily, and I know there's no enthusiasm anywhere he's been so far. Jeff Lord, you know, there was room for tens and tens of thousands of people in Philly, and not that many showed up there either, and that's his big home state. But the problem for him in Pennsylvania is they're having job fairs in prisons because they don't have enough workers in the state of Pennsylvania since Donald Trump became president.
That's absolutely right. The now hiring signs are up all over the place here. Look, Joe Biden, I think, is going to have a real problem with the left flank of his own party. I'm not sure that he'll even get to Donald Trump. They can't abide him. They think of him as Hillary, you know, part two. And I think they're going to go out there and already are out there. You listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, she can't abide him. I mean, she thinks he's already sold out on climate change.
Well, but by the way, and they tried to appease her, and then still it didn't work with her. He's still not getting the seal of approval of the rising star or the leader of the Democratic Party in Washington, which is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's the real speaker. She's the one that sets the agenda. And you better, you know, pass whatever litmus test she has on the new Green Deal, or she's going out against you pretty hard.
It's a real problem. And I may have said this to you before, but when I was at the Democratic convention and walked in the door, I was stopped by some woman delegate from Indiana who recognized me from TV. That was the Democratic convention. She went off on Hillary Clinton. She was a Bernie Sanders delegate. And she said literally to me that hell would freeze over before she would lift a finger for Hillary Clinton. That mindset, and I think that played a real role in defeating Hillary Clinton, that mindset is there plus 1,000 times over now with these people. And Joe Biden is going to be one of their primary targets.
I think one of the good decisions that the president made, now the president fully cooperated with the FBI investigation, the House Intel investigation, the bipartisan Senate investigation, and over 2 years with Mueller. Every single person that worked in the White House was encouraged to be cooperative and talk to the committees and talk to the special counsel's office. Even White House counsel Don McGahn, which frankly is, I can't imagine why that permission was given for him to talk for 30 hours, but he gave it. 101.5 million documents. The president answered questions. Not one time did they invoke executive privilege, not a single time. And now we have four investigations, four conclusions. Nobody is listening to Gerald Nadler. His threats are meaningless. And then his big star witness is a convict, you know, whose lies are chronicled 19 specific times, who obstructed justice, was at the heart of Watergate, and now has made a living off of saying the words, "This is worse than Watergate," about every Republican ever elected. Haley.
That's exactly right, Sean. And you look, you know, they had John Dean yesterday, who, as you noted correctly, lied 19 times. Their first witness after the Democratic Congress began was Michael Cohen, who also was disbarred, who also lied to Congress, who also was convicted of a felony. They've got nothing. And this investigation has gone on longer than Watergate, from the break-in all the way through. This investigation into the president has gone on for more than 2 years. It's three when you consider the FBI investigation, and they've got nothing except baseless impeachment talks. So they bring in John Dean. But, you know, the American people, I fully believe that they see the lunacy of this. It's why every poll says, please legislate, do not investigate. But Democrats can't wise up for the betterment of their own party and for the sake of this election that they so desperately wish to win.
Okay, so what is the end result of this? Where does this all end up for them, Jeff Lord? I mean, who ends up being their candidate? What are they going to run on? And at the end of the day, don't they have to run on the new Green Deal, whoever they pick? I mean, do they get to back away from that in the general election? Or
yeah, whoever is nominated is going to, that is going to be a foist upon that person, whomever this turns out to be. They have a very serious problem on their hands with this, and they frankly, I mean, Sean, I hope you are ordering popcorn by the boatload, because this is truly going to be an amazing thing to watch. All the attention goes to the president because he's the president, but they have a real, real problem in this country, in this party, and one of the significant things is the more they attack the president, you can bet that his supporters realize it's not so much about the president, it's about them. It's about Americans who voted for Donald Trump, who have conservative principles, et cetera. We're the real target. And people out here in the middle of Pennsylvania get it exactly.
Has Donald Trump lost a single voter, in your opinion, Kaylee, and then we got to go to a break here, since the last election?
No, absolutely not. In fact, there was an Axios article just yesterday that Pennsylvania swing voters are going for President Trump. He has not lost voters. He's made gains. Our polling shows it in the Hispanic community, in the Black community. Our internal polling at the campaign shows he's made those gains. He's picking up voters.
We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Kaylee McEnany and Jeff Lord, author of Swamp Wars, Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. We've got a great Hannity tonight at 9. We'll tell you more about that. We'll get to your calls.
Look, I believe that the president is literally an existential threat to America. Our children are listening. The idea that we give credit. Look, folks, America was built in the way we were built. Basic core values. Decency, honor, leaving no one behind, realizing that there are things that are bigger than you in America. That we have to get together, we have to cooperate. But this is a guy who does everything to separate and frighten people. It's about fear and loathing. It's about the way he calls people the names he calls them. No president has done something like that, for God's sake. I mean, it's bizarre and it's damaging. And so I think he's genuinely a threat to our core values. And he's a threat to our standing in the world.
Crazy, creepy Uncle Joe.
Yeah, really, we're going to get lectures from crazy, creepy Uncle Joe. 85 people showed up. Kaylee McEnany, we're running out of time. Is that going to be a winning strategy to get the nomination for Joe Biden?
No, character assassination is not a winning strategy. They tried it in 2016, demonize the president, calling him every name under the sun. It failed. It will fail again. The 85-person crowd is evidence of that.
What do you think? Last word, Jeff Lord.
Yeah, no, it's not going to work. And I have to laugh. Joe Biden's party is the one, speaking of Richard Nixon, that used to call him Tricky Dick. And now he's lecturing about calling names. I don't think so.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. By the way, Swamp Wars, Jeff's new book is on Hannity.com, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. When we come back, we'll hit the phones. Wide open telephones, 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program? Awesome. Hannity 9 Eastern. We'll tell you about that as we continue. All right. 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941. Sean, if you want to be a part of the program, I still can, for the life of me, you know, Biden, Trump is an existential threat. Trump is a threat to the democracy. The rest of the world needs us, and the threat is severe, and the fear and the loathing and all this of Donald Trump. He said it before a crowd of 85 people. There were probably more media people there than real people there. Anyway, here's the back and forth with the president and sleepy, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe.
I guess the point is, if we have a campaign where the theme is, let's go back to normal, then I think it's
going to... That's what Biden wants, is it? You're suggesting Biden would do that.
I'm not going to talk to anybody else's campaign.
Oh, yes, you are. This is an indirect shot at Biden. Come on.
I hope that Joe Biden rethinks his position on this issue. Perhaps he doesn't have all the facts. Perhaps he doesn't understand who the Hyde Amendment hurts most.
Is Joe Biden wrong?
Yes. He needs to try and figure out how to tell people where he stands on this and not forget the part of it that makes Biden Biden and effective, mm-hmm. and that is where he puts his own personal heart into the issue. And we haven't heard that. We've just sort of seen this weird flip-flop, which is unusual.
I'm sorry, when this is your issue, when this has been an issue in the past, How? Call this a style issue, although this is a leadership issue. This is a competence issue. He wants to be president of the United States. This is a leadership and competence issue. You can't do this stuff. You just can't. You do it in our business, you get fired.
Look, I believe that the president is literally an existential threat to America. Our children are listening. The idea that we give credit. Look, folks, America was built in the way we were built. Basic core values. Decency, honor.
leaving no one behind, realizing that there are things that are bigger than you in America, that we have to get together, we have to cooperate. But this is a guy who does everything to separate and frighten people. It's about fear and loathing. It's about what the way he calls people, the names he calls them. No president has done something like that, for God's sake. I mean, it's bizarre, and it's damaging. And so I think he's genuinely a threat to our core values, and he's a threat to our standing in the world.
Biden thought that China was not a competitor of ours. Joe Biden is a dummy. Joe Biden thought China was not a competitor. China made $500 billion over a short period of time against Obama, Biden, and for many, many years, in all fairness to them. China is a major competitor, and right now China wants to make a deal very badly. It's me right now. Well, I heard Biden, who's a loser. I mean, look, Joe never got more than 1%, except Obama took him off the trash heap, and now it looks like he's failing. It looks like his friends from the left are going to overtake him pretty soon. But I heard, his whole campaign is to hit Trump. You look at what the Obama administration did in terms of the military, in terms of security, in terms of other nations, in terms of almost everything. Much of it now, fortunately for everybody here, has been overturned. But look, when a man has to mention my name 76 times in a speech, that means he's in trouble. Now, I have to tell you, he's a different guy. He looks different than he used to. He acts different than he used to. He's even slower than he used to be. So I don't know. But Biden thought that China was not a competitor of ours. Joe Biden is a dummy.
You know, he's going to need a lot more than just making up. I'll even say worse things about Donald Trump. You know, it was just like the circus show yesterday of bringing in a convict who obstructed justice and a known liar who's made a living off the words worse than Watergate. He says about every Republican president, John Dean. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious, but that's not an agenda. By the way, Linda, did you see this? NBC News, their news division, they actually tapped Rachel Maddow to moderate the first Democratic debate. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine Fox News announcing that I'm a moderator, Rush, the great one, Mark Levin, Tucker, and Laura, we're moderating the debate? Can you imagine?
I actually think that we should do that, and I think we should call for it. If she gets to do one, why shouldn't you?
The perception that the president may have ordered these strikes, in part because of scandal, will affect the impact and the effectiveness of these military strikes. What would happen if Russia killed the power in Fargo today? Right? What would happen if all the natural gas lines that service Sioux Falls just poofed on the coldest day in recent memory, and it wasn't in our power whether or not to turn them back on? I mean, what would you do if you lost heat indefinitely as the act of a foreign power? Even among White House sources, there is now open speculation that the firing of McMaster last night and the announced hiring of John Bolton was timed by the president to distract from one particular interview that aired last night on CNN, an interview in which a woman named Karen McDougal discussed in detail what she says was a serious 10-month-long extramarital affair with the president.
If you booked Donald Trump on your show, what would your first question be?
Are you going to send me or anybody that I know to a camp?
I mean, it's just Roswell, New Mexico, you can't make this stuff up. But there you have, I mean, they actually have decided to let the conspiracy theory network run the show.
Should we do it?
Well, I mean,
I think we should motivate the American people to have them, talk to the networks.
Talk to the networks.
And maybe you should moderate. Why not?
Well, we have broken more news than any other show on any network anywhere. I mean,
and unlike Maddow, it's actually all come to fruition.
We actually tell the truth, and we don't make this up. I mean, this is all, it's been one big 2+ years of lying, 2+ years of a hoax, 2+ years of conspiracy theories and endless speculation, anonymous sources, and hysterical and breathless reporting. We got him, we got him, we got him, we got him. And it never happened. And everything that we've told you is now coming out. It is an amazing turnaround, and there's such a small percentage of us that got it right. I don't expect them to go on any of these news shows and ever say, oh, Hannity was right. I mean, weren't you kind of shocked when Bill Maher said, yeah, well, she did do that stuff with the emails? I was pretty shocked by that. Were you shocked by that?
I don't think I'm shocked by anything anymore. I mean, when the Democrats are picking a convicted felon to be their lead witness, you know, when the guy who can't spell really Jobs is running for president.
It's true.
I mean, it's insane.
Nothing surprises you.
It's just crazy. I mean, Jim Jordan yesterday, by the way, what a star. Oh, my God. Forget
about
it.
Well, him and Matt Gaetz and the whole team of them, I mean, this is what they've been doing in these behind-closed-doors testimonies that Doug Collins has been handing out. And it's amazing. We're getting to the bottom of it.
The corrupt cabal, what we see of Strzok, Page, McCabe, Comey, and others, how we actually got started here, I believe that they have the Godfather here today. Mr. Dean.
Now we got John Dean, 45 years ago, pled guilty to obstruction of justice, and now coming in to enlighten the Judiciary Committee on Obstruction of Justice when we could be going right to the start of how this whole thing started.
We're not just talking about your credibility as a witness. You're a biased witness as well. You spent the last 45 years trying to rehabilitate yourself, and I don't blame you. And you've written numerous books. You've claimed multiple Republican administrations as being worse than Watergate.
Now, Mr. Dean, I have no problem with you having an opinion. You've paid your debt to society, and you've made your opinion clear. In the last 2 years, did you know you sent 970 tweets about Donald Trump? All 970 tweets about Donald Trump are anti-Donald Trump.
Here we sit today in this hearing with the ghost of Christmas past because the chairman of the committee has gone to the Speaker of the House and sought permission to open an impeachment inquiry. But she has said no. You are functionally here as a prop because they can't impeach President Trump because 70% of Democrats want something that 60% of Americans don't.
Oh, you just want it all to come flowing down at once. Which it may happen, but now we have an attorney general. This is really significant. What Boyd's letter last night, and you couple it together with the statements of the attorney general, these guys have no idea what is about to hit them and how exposed they're going to be.
And see, Sean, even more so, I think what your show is doing on TV at night and here all day long, you know, it's like what you were just saying with all day long with Jeff and Kaylee. You know, we're reminding people about what Maxine Waters said when it was Bill Clinton, about what Jerry Nadler said when it was Bill Clinton, because the voters of today, they don't remember what happened 30 years ago. You know, there's a whole bunch of people that are voting that have never heard these comments before. So they need to hear about this flip-flop. They need to know what's actually happening.
No, and that's a good point that you've been making. All right, let me get to some phones. Let's say hi to Danielle is in San Diego, Kogo Radio. How are you, Danielle? Glad you called.
I'm doing great. How are you?
By the way, the greatest hotel in the world is out there in San Diego. It's called the Del Coronado. Even if there's even construction going on, it's still the best place. If there's if there's bad weather, it's still the best place on earth.
I agree. I love my city. I love the Dell.
It's unbelievable. Imagine if you were blessed enough to stay there. How great that would be. What if somebody sent you on a vacation there? Wouldn't you love that?
I would love.
You know, if someone sent me on a vacation there, I probably would have enjoyed it. But somebody sent me there to work.
It's a long story. All right. What's in your mind today?
Well, first, I think I would be regretful if I didn't first say thank you so much for your coverage of Russiagate. I know that we're going to talk about something different, but I really just wanted to say thank you for getting this right and for standing up for Bernie Sanders when he wouldn't stand up for himself.
Well, I think I was the only one defending the fact this poor guy got ripped off royally in that primary, but I guess I'm the only one that cares. And then they tried to do it in the general election, and we caught them.
Exactly. But what I wanted to talk about today was the Green New Deal and, you know, this, well, as far as I'm concerned, garbage that the Democrats are trying to sell us. And, you know, they tried to fix health care, and I got stuck with a $1,900 a month bill for a family of four. So quite frankly, I don't think I can afford to fix climate change the way that they want to fix it. But even if you agree that climate change is a big problem, We cannot get it done through the government, and we especially can't get it done through the Democrats. So
the lifeblood of our economy, they want to eliminate in 10 years. It's a disaster. And on top of everything being free. Now, I agree. Mm-hmm. We should be good stewards of the beautiful planet God gave us. And we should always be looking for new energy, new sources, new technology. And whoever finds it, creates it, discovers it, is going to be a very wealthy person. The problem they have is it's based on phony science and fear-mongering, and also a political agenda that is rooted in socialism redistribution. The problem I have is
fear.
Well, and I was going to say, the fear, the Democrats play on a natural fear that, oh no, what if I get sick? Oh no, what if I can't work? Oh no, I don't have enough money in the bank. So here comes a group of people that, as you rightly point out, every promise they make, keep your doctor, keep your plan, and save money, turned into a disaster where millions lost their doctors, their plans, and they all paid more. And then yet we're going to put our faith and hope that we're going to get rid of oil and gas, the combustion engine. Everything's going to be free, a guaranteed job, guaranteed vacations, guaranteed school from pre-K to college and through college, and government healthy food, and whether you're willing or unwilling to work. And then we'll get rid of planes and cows. And those same people, and you can't get your own private insurance, so now you're stuck. It's like Obamacare, but you don't have a path away from it. And those people can never fulfill that promise. And it's not about them wanting to give people stuff. It is about them accumulating their power. And when you ask them the cost and they say it's irrelevant, it is the most relevant question because it's not something we could ever afford. And it's not what freedom and liberty and what our founders meant when they talked about in our founding document, that our rights are given by God. We are endowed by our creator with, with the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what that means. We get to choose. We don't need government at that extent because they will fail you and they will disappoint you.
Exactly. So,
all right.
So really,
well, I got to run, but thank you for the call. Have a great time. Go have a drink at Del Coronado on me.
Well, thank you so much, Hannity. Have a great day.
You too. You have a great day. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We are loaded up a big Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. We have new developments in this whole investigate the investigators. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. Also, Lindsey Graham, Jim Jordan, Dan Bongino, Sarah Carter, Sean Spicer, Jesse Waters, and much, much more. 9 Eastern, Hannity, investigating the investigators. And we'll have an update on the Deputy Attorney General's preserve letter and what it all means, all coming up at 9. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow.